Those are right up there. Continue that good singing, hymn number 9 this morning. Hymn number 9, Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty. Let's all stand together as we sing God's praises. Holy, Holy, Holy. Number 9. Yes, please.
Down there.
before we sing that fourth verse, what are you thankful to God for about Himself this morning? One of His attributes, yes.
I'm thankful for everybody being here, my church family and my sister.
Amen. All right. Who else? Yes, Evan.
That Matilda is better from when she had her teeth pulled.
Okay. Amen. God brought her out of that. Mm-hmm. Who else? Darnell?
For getting me out of bed. Yeah.
Amen. Amen. James?
I'm glad I woke up. God woke us up, everybody, this morning.
Amen. Amen. Anyone else? About God and His attributes. Yes.
I'm thankful He is a provider and He gives us above that which we ask or think. But He also knows that we have need of. And so sometimes when we don't take time to ask for, maybe we think it's small, but He still knows our hearts. Oftentimes, like, to surprise us anyway. It's like, wow, you know, thank you, Lord. Sometimes He does that for us. And sometimes He does it best for us and He doesn't give us certain things that we want. But He cares for us. He provides our needs and He cares for us.
Amen.
Amen.
Anyone else? Thankful to God and His attributes. Yes, Carol.
He is holy, as we just sung, holy and almighty and creator of heaven and earth, but yet He's my Father who art in heaven.
Amen. All right, let us sing that last verse.
Holy, holy, holy.
Together in prayer, and let us pray for those that need prayer. We think of Ernie Altamari, who broke his leg on Wednesday, a longtime friend of the church, and then also let us pray for all of our sick and shut-ins, Patty and Angela Straw, and the other sick and shut-ins that can't make it out to be with us, though they want to be, Nancy Joyce. Her knee, she wanted to come out, but her knee is hurting her. So we'll pray for all those as well. Pastor Logan, would you lead us in prayer?
Father, our God, we do thank you for your presence. We thank you for the day you have made. We thank you, Father, for keeping us through last night. For what we have this morning.
Amen.
For our nation, for our leaders and authority. We pray for the people of Jerusalem. We pray for the nation of Israel.
Amen. Angela Straw. Amen. You may be seated. Let's turn to our hymn book, number 192. One Day When Heaven Was Filled With His Praises, number 192. second and the fourth on this song. One day when heaven was filled with His praises, one day when news was as black as could be, Jesus came home to be born of a virgin, dwelt among men by example and Trisha's going to read the hymn history for this song so we can understand it better. He keeps me singing.
Luther Bridgers began preaching at the age of 17 while he was a student at a Bible college in Kentucky. After graduation, he went on to become a pastor and became widely known for his sincerity and evangelistic zeal. In 1910, the future looked so bright for this young 26-year-old pastor. He had a lovely wife, three energetic young sons, and a growing demand for his preaching services. But then tragedy struck. The Bridgers were visiting Mrs. Bridger's parents in Harrodsburg, Kentucky. Oh, it was such a happy time of reunion for the families, and they had retired rather late. The late hour plus the rigors of traveling, dirt roads, old-fashioned cars in 1910, proved that the family had no trouble at all getting to sleep. Within minutes after retiring, as all were sleeping, like a thief in the night, that's when the tragedy happened. A neighbor, who couldn't sleep, across the street, happened to look out his window and saw that the Bridger's home was completely engulfed in flames. He ran over quickly, and he was able to arouse only Mrs. Bridger's parents and Luther Bridger's. After getting out of the house and realizing that his wife and boys were still inside, Pastor Bridger's tried to go back in after them, but had to be held back. By this time, the house was a complete mass of flames and had begun to fall. When the carnage was over, Pastor Bridger's young wife and his three sons were dead. What had started as a joyous reunion had turned into a tragedy of tears. What would this young pastor now do? In the days and weeks that followed, as the deep waters of sorrow were flooding over him and the darkness of night surrounded this young pastor, he remembered a promise of God, that the Lord promised songs in the night, and that God would never leave or forsake him. It was during this time of great sorrow and heart searching that Pastor Luther Bridgers wrote these words: There's within my heart a melody. Jesus whispers sweet and low, fear not, I am with thee. Peace be still in all of life's ebb and flow. The hymn is called He Keeps Me Singing.
Amen. Let's sing it together.
There's within my heart a
reading. Psalm 64. I would like to ask Pastor Logan to come and read that one for us. Psalm 64 in your Bible, and then also Proverbs 3, 1 to 4 after we do Psalm 64. That song was always such a happy song that you never know what was behind it. It's very interesting. And moving. Psalm 64, let's all stand together for the reading of God's Word. And Pastor Logan, would you also share a few comments or thoughts afterwards about what the Lord's doing in your life?
All right, Psalm 64. I'll read the first, and you read the second, and so on. Psalm 64. Amen. Psalm 64. See, some pages still turning. Amen, 64. If you see someone that hasn't gotten it, give them a help. You're standing by them. Psalm 64. All right. This is to the chief musician, a song of David. Hear my voice, O God, in my prayer. Preserve my life from fear of the enemy.
Hide me from the secret counsel of the wicked, from the instruction of the workers of iniquity.
So whet that tongue like a sword, and bend that bow to shoot the arrows, even bitter words.
That they may shoot in a secret at a person. Suddenly do they shoot at him and fear not.
They encourage themselves in the evil matter. They commune of laying snares privately. They say, who shall see them?
Their first iniquity is their common familial search, both the inward thought of every one of them and the heart of the
But God shall shoot at them with an arrow. Suddenly shall they be wounded.
So they shall not
make their own tongue fall upon themselves. All that see them shall flee away.
And all men shall fear and shall declare the work of God. For they shall wisely consider of his doing. Altogether, the righteous shall be glad in the Lord, and shall trust in him, and all the upright in heart shall glory. Amen. Lord, add a blessing to the hearing of his word. Oh, was that the only
one? Proverbs.
Proverbs
3, 1 to 4.
Proverbs 3, 1 to 4. Proverbs 3. One to four. Proverbs 3:1-4. Don't worry if you're still looking, I'm doing the same thing. Proverbs 3:1-4. I know it's in here. Proverbs 3:1-4. All right, Proverbs 3:1-4. My son, forget not my law, but let thine heart keep my commandments. Let not mercy and truth forsake thee, bind them about thy neck, write them upon the table of thine heart. Together, so shalt thou find favor and good understanding in the sight of God and man. Amen. Amen. Praise God. You may be seated. We thank God for this day, the day the Lord has made. And you know, as we stand here this morning, look over the congregation, I thank God for this church. I thank God for Pastor Rice and his family. I thank God that the word of God is taught here in truth and in sincerity. I praise God for the evening service on Sunday nights and on Wednesday. We praise God that the truth is taught. You know, we are living in a day that, I don't know how many of you realize it, but we're living in a day that churches are falling by the wayside. God is looking for churches to stand. The last statistic that I read, that there are over 1,200 churches started in America every single month. And you say, hey, that's great. Yes, but also the negative part is 1,000 churches close down every month. So we only have a gain of 200 churches. That's not good, is it? And what about the ministry of the church themselves? The last statistic I read, which is only a few months ago, was 800 preachers and ministers quit the ministry every single month. That's not good, is it? The churches are needing pastors so bad that you can look on the internet where they advertise for pastors. Because it's not a great, on this side, it's not a rewarding profession. Because pastors, as you know, most of the churches, the average church in America is less than 250 people. The average pastor's salary is less than $100 per week. So we are looking at a situation where pastors are not well paid, and we don't pastor for payment, but the Bible says that don't mother the ox. That plant of corn, right? So pastors have to be paid, church bills have to be paid, electric bills have to be paid. These things just don't happen. It is because of the faithfulness of you as people to give that these things do happen. But we need to pray for those pastors that are continuing to do the job. even under those circumstances. Many pastors, even as I did when I pastored for almost 30 years, many of them work a secular job. I worked a secular job the whole time, so I didn't need to depend upon the church. But it would be great if all pastors, and I tell young preachers this every time I see them going to the ministry or into pastor, pray for the time that you can be full-time, because it's difficult to give the man 8 hours mm-hmm. of work, sometime maybe more than 40 hours a week, and then try to come and give God what he needs. It's difficult to divide the time like that. Pastors, preachers need to be full-time. So pray for the ministry. Pray for Pastor Rice. There are many things in his ministry that we need to look at. For example, there's going to come a time, Pastor didn't tell me to say this now, so I hope he don't get me afterwards, but if he does, I can take it. But there's going to come a time, and it won't be long, that Pastor's going to have to retire. So we need to look to make a retirement plan. I don't think he has a retirement plan, but we need to look down the road, don't we? We need to look for that time when our pastor is not won't be able to pastor, and we need to make a retirement plan for him. So pray for Pastor Wright. He's done a great job, wonderful job, a job of labor, and yet we need to think of him also as we think of our own job sometimes. We go on strike to get raises, don't we? I used to be at the Wheaton Plaster, many of you know that organization there, and I was the vice president and chief steward of the union. We had about 1,200 hourly employee and about 300 or 400 salary employee. Mm-hmm. And yet, we went on strike to get things that we thought we need. And the old saying is that when you go on strike, the only person that wins is the person that comes in after the strike is over, because you never make back what you get. That's right. So pray that we will look at this job that pastor has, not just as a spiritual job, but also, you know, as a job that we can support him in it. The three things I believe that church ought to have in order to be successful. Three things, I think. One of those things is that people have to be spiritually growth. There has to be a spiritual growth in the church. Amen? Amen. Can I get a good amen there?
Amen.
Also, the church has to grow numerically. Mm-hmm. Amen?
Amen.
We want the church to grow numerically. And the church has to grow economically. Without those three things, the church does not grow. Amen?
Amen.
God bless you. Thank you, Pastor.
Thank you, Pastor Logan. Appreciate that. Always an encouragement whenever he gets up here to read and give us a few words. And I thank God for Pastor Logan and the great help he's been to our church and the ministries. He helped us start our bus ministry to Atlantic City with Ms. Gibson and Karen. He helped at the Meadowview, that's where I met him actually, at the Meadowview ministry. His wife was there, and we met many years ago, 9 years ago now, something like that, and I'm just so thankful for him. Let us turn to our bulletin, and he helps every week with the Atlantic ministry. He preaches over there every week. I look forward to hearing those messages every Wednesday morning at 10:30. So pray for Pastor Logan and the many responsibilities he has here at our church, as well as his son-in-law's church, the one he started, and we're thankful for Pastor Logan. All right, just by way of announcements, does anyone need a bulletin? Raise your hand, we'll be happy to get one to you. I'll take one up here, Evan, if you don't mind. And we're so thankful that God is doing that work in us. Be ye holy, first. Peter 1:15, God says, as I am holy. And beautiful picture of the mountains there that God made in his beauty, his majesty. And just by way of announcements, let's say our February memory verse, Philippians 1:27b. We'll say it reference verse and reference three times, and then we'll give you opportunity to say it this morning from memory. This is our theme verse for the year. So we're finally getting an opportunity to say it. Okay, so let's say it three times. Philippians 1:27b, that ye stand fast in one spirit, with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel. Philippians 1:27b. Philippians 1:27b, that ye stand fast in one spirit, with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel, Philippians 1:27b. Let's try it again. Philippians 1:27b. That ye stand fast in one spirit, with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel. Philippians 1:27b. Who would like to try it from memory? Okay, Nicole.
Philippians 1:27b. That you stand fast in one spirit, with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel.
Amen. Great job. Who else? Okay.
That you stand fast in one spirit. Stand fast in one spirit, with one mind and one strength, for the faith of the gospel. And that was Philippians 1:27.
Okay. All right. Anyone else? Yes.
Philippians 1:27b. That ye might stand fast in one spirit, with one mind, together striving for the faith of the gospel.
Good job. All right. Excellent. Holly? Striving. Good. Good job. Anyone else want to give it a try? Yes, Essie.
Philippians 1:27b. That you have been fast in one spirit, with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel.
Okay, all right. Okay, great job at this time. So keep that one in mind. That's what we're doing this year, is we're looking for ways that we can team together to get more people into the fold and to then disciple those in the fold, to get them into God's kingdom by being saved, and then once they're in God's kingdom, try to get them into the church, and then discipling them. That's our goal. We're trying to work together with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel. And already we've seen a few things happen this year that's already lent to more teamwork, less burden on one person, such as the pastor, or less burden on one particular person in the church, and more of us working together, getting things done. So we thank God that already He's doing that this year. Then keep praying for Patty Campbell. She's on chemo again starting Monday. She had to get off on Friday because her mouth and lip sores, but they are better now. So we praise the Lord for that. Then we pray also for the new ministry opportunity that has opened up as we speak of those things, that something has opened up to that we could reach out to young mothers who may have needs. And so my wife has been burdened in this area. It's called Caring for Moms. And so pray as she goes to talk to some doctors as well as hospitals as far as if we could partner with them to care for moms in need. She's already gotten a large bit of donations of baby clothes, car seats, bouncy chair, other things for babies, many different things. So she's already prepared many gift bags for moms who may be in need, and perhaps their pregnancy is not going well, or perhaps they're not in a good relationship or stable environment. So this is an encouragement that we can give them as a church to tell them to continue on, to bring the child to birth, number one, and then number two, that we can be a help to them and a support to them as they go forward if they come to the Lord. And so let us pray for this ministry, if it be God's will, that He would open the doors wide open for this, and if not, that He would close the doors, whatever God's will be done. So pray for my wife as she seeks out these different contacts. We're already helping two moms now, and so it's already the doors are being opened in this ministry. Then pray also, is there anything else you wanted to share about that, Carrie?
Just definitely pray towards it, and how we can just be a refuge of the church, as we are to so many people already. This is just maybe another puzzle piece to our church's puzzle of of how people bring in organic families, and of course, again, with the killing of innocent lives to help people. A lot of times there's people who might make that decision of abortion just because they feel that nobody cares, that their trial is forever and it's not trials are temporary, and that when they lack hope or they lack resources, they might need that guidance that a church can be there for them. And I know the church will be supportive to the mom to encourage her so she can be encouraged to not only keeping her child, but also just be encouraged in her walk. And I know the church can reach out as in a friendly form to help them establish that there are friendly people in this world, and most importantly for their salvation. I'll share my testimony really quick so that way to kind of maybe hopefully cast out any doubt in people's mind about this.
Why don't you stand up?
Okay. When my mom was pregnant with me, I haven't shared this testimony, but she was in an abusive relationship and she was told to abort me. And it was by my relatives who said, oh, don't maintain it, don't maintain the pregnancy. The father is not a good picture in your life. And she ended up having to divorce him because he was extremely violent to her by the time that they were into their marriage of 6 months. And this is why I said abort. Well, he decided for his power struggle to steal everything they had in the house. So my mom had put me up for adoption. And when she had me, she selected the family to adopt me. She had met them and thought it was all good. There was one more signature for her to sign after I was born. And she looked at me and she said, all I can give this baby is love, but I'm going to give it. So she came home to her house, had been robbed, and there was nothing. So I slept in a cardboard box, and my sister slept on the floor, and she slept on the floor. But within 3 months, the church had found out about it and got involved, and my mom became more faithful in her Christian walk, and I got to know the Lord through the bus ministry of our local church, and later, through my mom's health improving, she was faithful to church, and the church also helped provide some of our needs. But that was what she needed to see to get through her trial. And her life didn't stop there. Her life continued to grow more and more in the Lord. Her life got better, better relationship. She married a godly man. So I just felt we can be a support to people in their temporary trial. We just encourage them with temporary that God will be there. So.
Amen.
Amen.
And now she raised a daughter to become a pastor's wife. So you never know what God's going to do. And also, what was I going to say? That was Woodcrest Baptist Church in Fridley, Minnesota, and it was right outside of, right on the border of St. Paul and Minneapolis there, and so they helped in their bus ministry. So my wife is a bus kid, growing up the first 5, 6 years, 7 years of her life. So praise the Lord for how God works, and so that's some of the reasons why we have the ministries we do, because they work, and they bring in people, and then we can help disciple these young people, so they can become adult workers for God. So never doubt what God is doing in someone's life. Let us keep encouraging one another in the Lord. Just by way of other announcements, on the right-hand page, we are collecting the Faith Promise missionary forms next week. So as we pray about what we can give, maybe $10, $5, $15, $20 each month to our missionaries, over and above our tithe to God, as an offering. And that is how many churches do a Faith Promise missionary offerings. And sure enough, they see the missions budget increase each year as God, sure enough, He will supply our every need. And He will supply those needs that we have as we trust Him and have faith in Him. And don't worry, if circumstances change, the Lord understands that as well, okay? If you can't give because you lost your job, or you can't give because of some, you know, the Lord will send in someone else to help make up that lack. So let us pray and give, pray about that this week, the Faith Promise Missionary Forms, and we will have them on the back table next week for that purpose. Then this Saturday we will be going out soul winning in the morning. Actually, it'll be at 10 a.m. this coming Saturday. Then Sunday afternoon, Meadowview service today at 2 p.m. So if you would like to come over and help us sing with the elderly, that's a great blessing. Then tonight we have our family Bible preaching for a message on how to be a good disciple of Jesus, and then how to disciple others. We're looking at discipleship on Sunday nights. So that so come on back tonight. Then we also have a food fellowship right afterwards. So bring a food item or a snack item that you'd like to share so we can enjoy some good fellowship right after the service. Paul's a little bit under the weather this morning with a sore throat, but he should be better by tonight. He'll be coming back. So we're going to have a little, we're going to sing to him as well and have a cake tonight at that food fellowship. Then we will have another organization party. We had one this past Thursday night. It was not very well attended due to many schedules being not able to come. But my wife and I and Lydia and Paul were able to accomplish quite a bit. And a lot has been done. However, we're going to do another one so we can finish the job because March 10th, we're going to have quite a few visitors here in the building. We're going to have some policemen, firemen, EMTs in the building, so we want to make sure everything is cleaned, organized, and ready for God's purpose here. And speaking of the Safety Recognition Day, we do have letters on the back table that you can take there. Carol, if you wouldn't mind, we can, I'll take...
forms that need to be signed on.
Okay, great. All right, so we'll bring those up. And so we want to get ready for this Safety Recognition Day. This is a nice letter. It says, "Dear safety personnel, police, fire, EMT, we would like to extend a cordial invitation to you and your departments to come and attend a special event to encourage our Atlantic County safety personnel. It is on Sunday, March 10th at 10:45 at Northfield Baptist Church. We want to recognize and thank you in the important and often dangerous work you perform on a daily basis. We have a special gift for each police, fire, and EMT person that comes that Sunday. We want to recognize each one that comes and offer you a chance to share what you do for the community. And kids and teens will also be in attendance, so please help them better understand." So we have a nice letter here for the purpose of going out to any EMTs, police, and fire people that you know. Okay, how many know one or two or three of those that you'd like to invite? Okay, let's have a couple of our ushers or junior ushers help hand these out. If you see someone with their hand raised, ask them how many they want, and then give them however many letters they want. So think of any of your friends or your coworkers or your associates that is police, fire, or EMTs. What a great opportunity we have to invite them to church that Sunday. And you say, well, what if they're on call? Well, if they're on call, they can come and they'll leave if they have to leave. You know, or they'll come and stay for a little while and then go back. A lot of them, even when they're on duty, they like to come and then they can... if they get a call, they can come go from here. So let us invite them, the ones that we know, get them into church so that they can hear the gospel and get saved if they're not saved, and if they are saved, that they can grow and be encouraged in the Lord. We'll have a special gift for each of them, very nice gift that they can hang on their wall, and so we want to get the Word of God into their hands. All right, then Master Club Regionals is March 30th. It's coming up. It's almost a month away. So young people, this Wednesday night, getting into the swing of things and getting focused on doing an individual, something individual, whether it be an art project or something that you can do individually to compete for the Master's Club Regionals. Set aside March 30th on your calendar. Parents, adults, please set that aside. Saturday, March 30th, so they can come and compete that day, 7:30 to 6 p.m. And please, any adults that want to come with us, we do need some chaperones. So we invite adults to come and help us as these kids present what they do for the Lord that day. Then Dr. Gilmore will be coming the week before that, March 24th through the 28th. So we look forward to having him, and a new evangelist and his wife will be coming. So there will be three of them doing, and then I think the new evangelist and his wife have a child, so they will be doing junior church and other things. So invite many out for these special events. Then next Sunday, in order to get ready for the Safety Recognition Day, we ask all of our men, especially, if you can help us be ushers and greeters, and any ladies that would like to be greeters, even not even just next Sunday, but greeters. If you're a member of the church, or if you want to become a member of the church, Please stay with us next week, and we're just going to have a brief meeting on ushering and greeting so that we can get ready to present a professional and loving invite to anyone that comes in and to welcome them well. At this time, we'll ask our ushers to come as we give to the Lord this morning of our tithes and offerings to God. We also need food for the Safety Recognition Day, which is one of the sign-up lists that Carol sent around there. Carol, do you want to say in particular what kind of foods we need for that day?
Well, I think what you've had in the bulletin, I didn't read today's yet, but the finger food idea is a good one, which would include sandwiches cut into four pieces, chips,
potato salad, macaroni salad.
There you go. Fine.
I'm just reading it from what we did last time. Potato salad, macaroni salad, finger sandwiches cut into four, and then desserts, if you want to bring a dessert as well.
And beverages,
okay. So let us sign up for those things and be a blessing to our first responders in the community, and a great way to show that we care and that we love them, and most importantly, God loves them. This time, as we give to the Lord, let us bow together in prayer and ask God to multiply our giving as we give our tithes and offerings to the Lord. Let us pray.
Dear Lord, thank you for the sales of money about to receive, dear Lord, just my prayer. Amen.
Amen. Let us turn back to our Majesty hymn book at this time, the red hymn book there in front of you, and let us sing one more song before our special music of the kids' choir this morning, and let us sing 412, How Can I Fear? Let's stand together if you're physically able to. 412.
How can I fear?
watches over me. Worries all cease. He gives me peace. How can I fear with Jesus? Amen. You may be seated. This time we'll have the kids' choir come on up. Church to go for their special time together, sixth grade and younger, and let us turn in our Bibles this morning as we continue our study of the book of Romans, Romans chapter 10. Every other week, a different series. The 1 week we do Romans, the other week we're doing victory against Satan's attacks. We looked at magic last week. Next week, we'll be looking at Satan's Got Religion. Look at that special series every other week. Romans chapter 10. There went out a sower to sow. Mark 4:3 says, Mark J. Goodger, the highway Bible evangelist, covers the United States every year on a bicycle, giving out tracts from door to door. This was a man who did this many years. At one two-story house in South Carolina, he rang the bell 6 times because he heard sounds within. Finally, a man opened the door, received the tract, and slammed the door violently in Mr. Goodger's face. A week later, he was strangely led to ring the bell of the same house. This time, the man soon appeared. He led Mr. Goodger up to the attic. At the top, Mr. Goodger immediately saw a rope dangling from the rafters, a noose at the end, and a box below. The man said, "Sir, when you kept ringing my doorbell last week, my head was in that noose. I was ready to jump. Because you were so persistent, I decided to go down and see who it was. After receiving your tract, I again returned to the garret, but I sat down because I was arrested by the title of your tract. I read the tract, and God spoke to me. Now I am trusting in the Lord." As the man sat on the box, Mr. Goodger seized his opportunity to show him clearly the way of salvation. But for a tract, the man would have been in eternity without Christ. At a London May meeting, Reverend Dr. Len Broughton said, Pastor Broughton said, "Some years ago, one of the most brilliant young American actors that the stage had was walking the streets of one of our western cities one night on his way to the theater. And as he turned a corner near the theater, a humble woman whose name has never been known handed him a tract And out of respect to the woman, he put the tract in his overcoat pocket, never expecting to read it. He went to his hotel after he had performed in the theater, and somehow he got hold of the tract. And he said, "I believe I'll see what this tract is about." And he began to read it and found it so interesting that he could put it down. When he had finished the tract, he went to bed and began to think along the lines of its teaching. And somehow he found it impossible to sleep that night. All through the night, the teaching of that tract kept wandering through his mind. Next morning, he endeavored to dismiss it from his thoughts and gave himself over to the rehearsal for the coming night, but he could not get it out of his mind. He could not sufficiently fix his mind on rehearsing his part, and presently it ended in his consulting a pastor. He told him his experience, and the pastor began, when he had done, to preach to him Jesus, and that brilliant young Western American actor then and there bowed his heart and yielded to Jesus. 5 months after that, he entered a theological seminary to prepare himself for the Christian ministry, and a few years ago, George C. Lorimer, the pastor in Boston, went home to meet his God, and if he could stand on this platform tonight, he would say one of the greatest unused forces in the Christian church today is the tract. The tract. Let us bow together in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this time tonight, this morning, to preach your word from the book of Romans, chapter 10. We thank you that these words that we know very well are yet so unheeded by so many of us Christians. Lord, we pray that you would help us to take these words in, to think on the message this morning, that we can influence our community for Christ, that we can lead perhaps one, two, three to Christ this year, if we will be diligent with our time and with tracts and with our tongue. Lord, we pray that you'd help us this morning, that you would speak to our hearts. Fill me with thy spirit, that I may speak forth thy truth, and help each one of us as Christians to desire to be spirit-filled so that we can do your work in your way, that you can bless us here at Northfield Baptist Church. In Jesus' name, amen. Romans 10 and verse 1. Let's read it responsively. I'll read the first verse, you read the second, and so forth. "Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved." "For they, being ignorant of God's righteousness and going about to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God." "For Moses describeth the righteousness which is of the law, that the man which doeth those things shall live by them." "Or who shall descend into the deep, that is to bring up Christ again from the dead?" "That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved." "For the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed." And together, verse 13, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." Here we have such a great passage of Scripture, but a lot of times we don't know the context of it. You know, what was Paul saying before those very memorable verses, 9 through 13? Well, here, let's get the context of this, and I believe Brother Bucher, a missionary to Israel, he also touched on this passage a bit. But basically, here's what it's saying. "Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved." Paul had a burden for his fellow countrymen. Paul had a burden for his people. We should have a burden for our people. We should have a burden for the people in our lives. Do you have a burden for anyone today? Good question to ask. Can we honestly say that that's true of my heart? Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. Is that your heart? Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer for my family is that they might be saved. For my neighbors, that they might be saved. For my coworkers, that they might be saved. For my school attendees, that they might be saved. If there's any cell phones, please turn them in to the basket, so that way they are not a distraction. Any teenagers have cell phones, put them away under your seat or somewhere out of hand, and it's not good enough to just put your cell phone away. You got to also open the Bible. You know, that's what we're doing. Open the Bible, listen to the Word, let God speak to you so He can change your heart. Okay, we all need a heart change, myself included. Every one of us needs this message and every message from the Word of God. There's not one of us who ever gets to the point where we don't need the messages of the Word, the preaching of the Word. It says in 1 Corinthians 1 that to us which are saved, the preaching of the Word is the power of God. Okay, it's the power of God in our lives. It helps confirm what we've been reading in our devotions. Helps confirm what the Lord's been kind of pricking our heart with during the week. Helps confirm with what we're convicted of during the week. You know, that's often the case. You know, the Lord convicts me of something, then sure enough, it's right in the message the next week. You know, that's how God's worked. So the preaching of the Word helps to confirm what He's already doing behind the scenes in our life. Okay, so let us listen carefully and attentively. Okay, so here, do you have this burden for anyone this morning? God says we need to have a burden for someone all the time. It should be a constantly nagging burden in our heart, in our mind, that we are broken over someone who's not saved. And if you say, oh, I don't have a burden for anyone this morning, well then, you guess what? You are not right with God. You are not right with God if you don't have a burden for someone this morning. Why? Because a Christian needs to have compassion. A Christian needs to have compassion for the lost. Jesus said, follow me and I will make you fishers of men. Jesus looked out on the Jerusalem, all the people going to and from, and He said, oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, how I would have gathered thee as a mother hen gathereth her chicks, but thou wouldest not. And so Jesus says, hey, if we don't have a tear and a burden for someone, then we're not right with God, because we haven't been spending time with Him. And when we spend time with Jesus, He gives us a burden for people. And speaking of which, we have a little card that's going also around. It's a card. Who has the card as of late? The clipboard with the card for Ernie. Ernie broke his leg this past week. He was just here at our church a couple Sundays ago. Okay, there it is. Okay, so who didn't sign the card for Ernie? He just broke his leg. He was just here a couple Sundays ago. So we want to keep this going around so everyone can at least sign it. Okay, all right. John didn't sign it. The Wells. Okay, so we'll pass that around. Okay, all right. So let's keep that going around. And then also here is the Safety Recognition Day. If you can bring a food item, that is on the back table there as well. So, we need to have a burden, because if we don't have a burden for our family members, who's going to have a burden for them? Honestly. Unsaved people don't have a burden for anybody. They're just trying to live their own life, and they're caught up with their own troubles. They're not thinking about eternity. And so we need to have a burden for them, because they don't have a burden for themselves. And so we need to be burdened for unsaved people. There was a lady named Abigail. While traveling on a ferry boat, she put a gospel tract in a bottle and threw it into the river. Some days later, a shabbily dressed stranger with that very bottle in his hand stood at her door. He confided that he was about to commit suicide in the river when he saw the floating bottle. The scripture verses found in the bottle so convicted him of his need for Christ that he came to see this Christian lady named Abigail, whose name appeared on the tract. Thus, this man who had been on the brink of eternal death passed into eternal life, all because of a gospel tract. Okay, so next time anyone tries to tell you gospel tracts don't work, don't tell that to all the many hundreds and thousands of people who've gotten saved by tracts, because they do work. In fact, when we were at Walmart this past summer with the two evangelists that came, we were giving out tracts each night for those 3 nights. And the second night, a gentleman got on board and he said, "Do you mind if I say a few words to the people as to your group of Christians as you're wrapping it up here on the van?" I said, "No, go ahead." And so he shared. He said, "Keep giving out these tracts." He said, "I got saved by a chick tract back as a teenager." He said, "My friend just kept giving them to me and kept giving me chick tracts, and I'd read every one, and I'd say, I'll get saved later. And he said, finally, he said, "Well, I'll do it on my deathbed." And that's when his friend gave him a tract about what if there's no deathbed. And he said, right there, he got scared, and he said, "Lord, I'm done. I'm done fighting you." And he prayed right there, and he trusted Christ as his Savior. So you just never know what God is doing, and don't ever discount gospel tracts, because they work. They work. Many people have been saved by gospel tracts. There was a policeman in Birmingham. Becoming a Christian, was so greatly troubled by the sights and sounds and sin among which he worked that for a long time he and his wife prayed, "Lord, take me out of the police service. Give me some other work." No answer came, and no other work was open to him. At last he said to his wife, "I think we have been making a great mistake. We have been praying that I may be taken out of the force, and I begin to think he has put me there to work. Now I am just going to pray that he will let me serve him where I am." This was the beginning of a life of marvelous usefulness. His influence over the men was so great that he was promoted to be the head of detectives. He was instrumental in the salvation of many criminals. The place where God has put you is the place where you can do the best service for Him. So don't think, "Well, if I was a pastor or if I was a missionary, that I could lead people, Lord." No, God put you in your sphere of influence so you could lead your coworkers, your school buddies to Christ, your neighbors to Christ, your doctor appointment waiting attendees to Christ. All the people that God puts in your life. Thursday, Friday, and Saturday, I said, "Lord," I said, "everywhere I go, I want to give everyone a tract." So I did that. This past Thursday, Friday, Saturday, I gave everyone a tract who I shared any conversation with, who I did business with, and then I would actively seek out people at the VA as well on Friday morning. And I did that, and so I got about 20 to 30 tracts passed out to do all the different business transactions, the different people that I ran into. And one lady at Walmart in Mays Landing, as I was there, she took the tract. She said, "Oh, thank you." She said, and then she turned it over. She said, "Oh, Northfield Baptist Church, is that your church?" I said, "Yeah." And she said, "Oh, I'm looking for a church." She said, "I used to live in Northfield. I know right where you are." And she said, "I look forward to seeing you." And so, you know, what if I would have said, "Well, you know, the first 10, they haven't said anything about it, you know, or the first 15. You can't give up. You just keep passing them out. Because you never know who's going to notice, who's going to read it, and you never know when they're going to read it, what they're going to do. Some people say, "Oh, well, you know, all the objections of tracts." So let me read about the objectors. "There are those who object to tract work because they have seen tracts on the sidewalks, which were discarded by the recipients. True, some of the tracts distributed may be wasted, but the work is abundantly worthwhile, even making that allowance." Luke 8:5-8 says, "When tracts are printed in very large quantities, an attractive 2-page tract can often be produced at the rate of pennies, and a 4-page tract, pennies. And that rate, one must see from a dozen to 25 tracts thrown away before the thought of wasting $1 could be entertained. On the other hand, seeing a tract on the sidewalk by no means proves it is wasted. A man wrote from Newark, New Jersey, saying that he was walking to his work one rainy morning and noticed a piece of printed paper on the sidewalk which had been trampled upon. He was in a reading mood, and although the paper was wet and dirty, he stooped, picked it up, and perused it. He said the paper proved to be a tract entitled $35,000 Spurned for a Son. As I read it, I thought of 10 persons to whom I would like to give a copy. The tract bears your imprint, so would you please send me extra copies of it? The extra copies were cheerfully sent. So that discarded tract led to an increased circulation of itself. Someone may say, I've seen a tract taken from an envelope and hurled into the waste paper basket. Granted, but even that, then you cannot be positive that it is wasted. A janitress, a lady janitor in New York City, wrote saying she had found a tract in a waste paper basket and she liked it so well she was sending it money for a quantity of them. Another person may say, I saw tracts torn to pieces and scattered to the winds. Maybe so, but if you concluded that that was wasted effort and material on the part of the tract worker, you may be mistaken. A person writing from a distance said he had found a piece of paper, the title of which he didn't know, for it was torn off. But said he, there was sufficient left to show me my condition and my Savior to inform me where I could secure much more such literature. So I am sending to you for a sample packet of all your literature, as I should love to read the missing part of this paper. We just never know. A professional diver said he had in his house what would probably strike a visitor as a very strange chimney ornament. It was the shell of an oyster holding a piece of printed paper. The possessor of this ornament was diving on the coast when he observed at the bottom of the sea this oyster on a rock with a piece of paper in its mouth, which he detached and commenced to read through the goggles of his headgear. It was a gospel tract. Coming to him so strangely and unexpectedly, it so impressed him that he said, I can't hold out against God's mercy in Christ any longer, since it pursues me thus. And there in the ocean depths, he became a repentant man, accepted Christ, and was assured that his sins were forgiven. Saved at the bottom of the sea is his testimony. Is it not wonderful that God can use even an oyster as his messenger? Perhaps God is forced to use oysters when men fail. Let's get busy for God. Right? Does that encourage you a bit? It should. That this happens countless times over and over again all through the years. That we need to get busy as Christians and stop giving excuses for why we can't do certain things. We need to just do what God says. Here we see verse 2, for I bear them record that they have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge. Here Paul says of the Jews, he said they have a zeal of God. Now, think of it. Paul was, you know, he faced many persecutions at the hands of the Jews in many cities. Everywhere he went, he was either getting beaten or put in prison, or at least cursed out of town, or whatever else. Notice, but here he has something good to say about them. For I bear them record that they have a zeal of God. You know, Christians should be known that, you know what, we have something good to say about everyone. Why? Because we want to win them to Christ. So that he can take them and make them a much better person. Make them a child of God. Make them a new creature. Okay, so we should have a good word to say about people. But they didn't have it according to knowledge. They had a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge. They had a zeal of God according to traditions and to defending their own righteousness. For they, being ignorant of God's righteousness and going about to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. So here, the Jewish people, the Jewish leaders, did not submit themselves unto God's righteousness. How to get it? They said, we're going to get it by keeping the law of Moses. We're going to keep it by keeping the 512 ceremonial laws and Jewish laws in the Old Testament. And we're going to keep it by living good. And they have not attained unto that righteousness. For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth. So it's not about what we can do to work our way to heaven. It's about Christ. He is the end of the law of righteousness. Verse 5, for Moses describeth the righteousness which is of the law, that the man which doeth those things shall live by them. But the righteous which is of faith speaketh on this wise, say not in thine heart, who shall ascend into heaven, that is to bring Christ down from above, Or who shall descend into the deep, that is, to bring up Christ again from the deep? Here, Paul quotes Moses. So, you know, he's talking about Moses. He's talking about how the Jews like to keep the law of Moses, but they don't like to keep the heart behind what Moses is writing about. You know, Moses himself said, he said in Deuteronomy, let's turn over there, keep your finger here in Romans 10. Deuteronomy 30, 11 through 14. Deuteronomy 30, 11 through 14. Would Moses have trusted Christ as Savior if Jesus was there in his lifetime? And of course, we know the answer is yes. But they, the Jews, made the statement, no, Moses would have said, work your way to heaven and live by the law, and that's how you get to heaven. No, notice this, that's not what Moses said anywhere in the Pentateuch. Nowhere did he say that. Notice what he did say. Deuteronomy 30, 11 through 14, Moses said, for this commandment which I command thee this day, it is not hidden from thee, neither is it far off. It is not in heaven that thou shouldest say, who shall go up for us to heaven, and bring it unto us, that we may hear it and do it. Neither is it beyond the sea, that thou shouldest say, who shall go over the sea for us, and bring it unto us, that we may hear it and do it. But the word is very nigh unto thee, in thy mouth and in thy heart, that thou mayest do it. Here we see, even in Moses' day, there were objectors to the gospel that said, oh, well, Moses, if you only just shared how we can get to heaven, you know, by, you know, going, you know, Moses, you went up to Mount Sinai, so maybe you should go, you know, up to heaven and get it for us. Or maybe you should go into the deepest sea and go far away for us and get it. Get what God tells us how to get to heaven. Moses said, no, I don't have to do all that. He said, we already have it. We already have it. How to get to heaven? Believe on the Lord. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind, with all thy strength. And thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Love the Lord. Believe on Him. And then love Him. And you'll be saved. You know, the gospel is the same in the Old Testament as the New Testament. They looked forward. Moses said, there's coming the Redeemer. He said, the scepter shall rise out of Judah. Moses said that the Messiah is coming, and He will redeem all mankind. So they looked forward to the cross. We look backwards to the cross. So they were saved the same way that we are saved today, by faith in Jehovah God and His Messiah that He would send. Let's go back to Romans 10. Romans 10. The word is nigh all of us. That which we preach, the word of faith. Do you realize that? If we would really just take in those words of verse 8, that we have in our fingertips and in our mouth, literally the saving gospel that so many people are looking for, the peace that everyone needs, the assurance that everyone is looking for, that many billionaires are trying to buy with money. If Warren Buffett only knew that the gospel was free, if Bill Gates only knew the gospel was free, if Jeff Bezos only knew the gospel was free, and they could know their way on their way to heaven through Jesus Christ, I wonder how many of them would get saved. How many opportunities have they had to trust Christ as Savior? We need to ask these questions. Why? Because we may not be rich. You may have some money, you may not. But we have something that's far better than money, and that is the gospel of Jesus Christ. So we have something that money can't buy, but that everyone is looking for, and that is peace with God and with men. And so it's nigh us, it's near us, so why aren't we using it? That's the question. Why are we not giving out the gospel? Because it is so simple to understand. I dare say it's because a few reasons. Probably number one would be laziness. We're too wrapped up in our own comfort. Number two would be too busy. And number three, selfishness. Those are the main three reasons why Christians don't give out the gospel. And we need to realize, and then number four would be fear. And we need to realize all four of these reasons are not real. They are not real reasons. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. God says, hey, if you're saved, the Lord is your light and your salvation. You don't have to fear anybody. If you're fearing somebody, then you're not fearing God. Because the true, proper fear of God melts away all the fear of people. We have to fear God first. I don't want to have to speak for God and have to answer to Him for why I didn't give the gospel to my family members, to my children, my parents, my sister, my brother, my aunts, my uncles. I don't want to have to stand before God and say I was too shy. You know, He's not going to accept that as an excuse. I don't want to have to say, you know, well, I didn't want to give it to my neighbors because I was too busy. He's going to say, you were too busy with foolish things. Everyone is busy. It's about what we are being busy for, is the question. And so we see here that the word of faith which we preach is very near to us. Verse 9, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised from the dead, shalt be saved. Notice how simple the gospel is. Changing our mind about sin, turning from our sin, and believing on Jesus. Do the questions have pertain to what we're talking about here? Yeah. What's the question? Number three is self. Self. Eric? They do.
You know, we all made a, how do you say it?
We're all sinners.
Mm-hmm. Stuff like that because we should not sin because God made us the way we are.
Yes. And so we see that there may be some who don't want to hear it today, but what about tomorrow? And what about the words, even if you can share a verse? You know, when we go door to door, you know, if someone says, I don't want that, you know, and they want us to give a closing word of, oh, okay, I'm sorry, you know, they may look for an apology or they may look for something just to be cordial. What I like to do as a cordial closing is, well, it's the good news of how you can know for sure you're on your way to heaven through the Lord Jesus Christ. And that, you know what, that will send some words to them that will say, hey, you know what, even if they say they don't want to hear it, they at least know I care, number one. And number two, that even those simple words, any scriptural words, any of these Bible verse words have an eternal effect on people. And they're going to have to constantly be thinking about it. It'll be ringing in their mind. Wait, they just offered me the gospel. What's the gospel? Oh, I got to look that up. And later on, they're going to go and search on the internet. What is the gospel? And then they'll probably come across Christian web pages and with Bible verses. Or later on, they'll think of heaven. You know, what where's heaven? How do I know I'm going there? He said I have to know that I know Jesus to go there. You know, so you just never know how God will use simple Bible words to prompt thoughts on people's hearts later. As they think about what we said, the devil tries to come in and like the sower on the wayside and tries to have the birds come and pluck up those seeds real quick. But guess what? The devil can't get every seed. He can't. Why? Because God says the word it will not return void, but will accomplish the thing whereto it has been sent. That God's word doesn't return void. So if you give in some scripture words or a verse of scripture, that God's word will not return void. Verse 10, for with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. It's not hard to be saved. Now, sometimes I turn on the Christian radio just to hear what some other preachers talk about, and sometimes I'll hear John MacArthur or some other Calvinists try to explain the gospel. And you know, it takes a whole message for them to explain the gospel. Guess what? If it takes a whole 30 minutes, 45 minutes to explain what the gospel is, it's not the true gospel. And sure enough, it's a slightly clarified version of the gospel. The gospel, according to John MacArthur and other lordship salvationists and Calvinists, is that you have to turn from your sins and believe on Jesus with all your heart, and that you have to keep on believing on Jesus with all your heart. You have to keep on, you have to, lordship salvation, you have to make him Lord of your life at that time. So as long as he is Lord of your life, you're saved. But if you made a profession of faith and you didn't make him Lord of your life at that time, according to John MacArthur and others, you are not truly saved. Okay? Now it sounds close, very close to what the Bible says. But let's think about that. What if there's a day where we deny the Lord? What if there's a day where we commit sin and the Lord's not Lord of my life? What does that do to those Christians who heard that slight warp of the gospel? It makes it dependent upon our works and upon our merits and upon our track record in order to get to heaven. And that is what lordship salvation is. Lordship salvation is not free grace salvation. The gospel of Romans and the Gospels all teach free grace salvation. Free grace salvation. It is the work of Christ and His death on the cross and His shed blood on the cross for us. He's already paid it in full. We have to turn from our sins. Repentance is a very important part of the gospel. That is so important. You can't just say, oh, just pray this prayer. No. If you say pray this prayer without telling them they need to turn from their sins and share with them what sins are and where they deserve judgment in hell, then guess what? You haven't explained the true gospel. Okay? It's not just praying a prayer. It is repenting of sin, believing on Jesus as Savior, but it's not based on if we make Him Lord of our life every day. It's not based on us making sure that He is Lord every single day, and if He's Lord of your life, then you're saved. No, that's they're mixing up salvation with sanctification. Okay, sanctification says that as we grow in our Christian life, He should be Lord of our life every day. He should have supreme preeminence over everything in our life. But that is part of God's working on us to be conforming us more to the image of His Son. It is not part of our salvation, okay? He needs to be Lord. We need to call on Him as Lord. Lord, please save me from my sins. They have to identify Him as Lord. However, this whole lordship part where He has to continue to be Lord or else you're not saved, that's bringing works into the gospel. And they're mixing up salvation with sanctification, okay? So we need to be clear what the gospel is. Verse 11, for the scripture, and of course John MacArthur has other things that he said that's also heresy. John MacArthur said in the 80s, and he never relinquished this. He said, it's not the blood of Christ that saves us, it's the death of Christ that saves us. And so he denied the atoning blood that Jesus shed on the cross as what God says, the blood of Jesus Christ cleanseth us from all sin. That's Bible. But he said it wasn't the blood of Christ on the cross, it was the death of Christ on the cross. Okay, so we've got to be very careful. Now, I'm not saying that everything else John MacArthur preaches is not right, but I'm just saying be very careful who you listen to and measure everything by the Scriptures, because the Scriptures will set us free from even a bit of false teaching. It only takes a little leaven to leaven the whole lump. Verse 11, for the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. For there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. God's wonderful promise that if they will call upon the name of the Lord, they shall be saved. Now some Christians make the gospel so complicated and have a Calvinist view of the gospel, that it's like no one ever wants to win anybody to Christ. How many Calvinists really win people to Christ? Not many at all. Why? Because it's so complicated. They've added sanctification to salvation. No, we've got to get back to the simple plan of salvation. That it's for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The wages of sin is death in the place called hell. That Jesus died to pay for our sins, and that they can believe on Him as Savior. It's a simple, simple plan of salvation, and it's simple to be saved. The people who say, "Oh, you can't lead someone to Christ at their door," or "You can't lead someone to Christ in 45 minutes to 30 minutes in a nursing home service." Oh, you can't do that. You have to keep presenting and present. No, all you need to do is present it one time, and they can be saved. They may be ready to get saved. You never know if we'll have another time. D.L. Moody, one time he said, "You know what? I'm not, there may be some who are ready to be saved tonight, but I'm not gonna give an invitation tonight because I want to explain more of what the gospel is and I want to do more." So that Sunday night, he left everybody in Chicago that came to the church that night. He said, "Okay, now you go home and you think about what Christ has done on the cross, and you think about whether you'd like to be saved or not for those who aren't saved yet." And guess what happened? That very night, the Chicago fire broke out. And it took literally engulfed half of the city of Chicago, and then it jumped the river. They said it's never going to jump the river. It jumped the river and burned another whole third of Chicago. Most of Chicago was burned down that night. As a result of that 1869 Chicago fire, and guess what? D.L. Moody said that was God's lesson to him, and he made it widely known. He said, "Don't ever not give an invitation if lost people are present, because you never know if they'll have another chance or not." And that was, God sent a message loud and clear to all Christians, hey, don't make it complicated, number one, and don't make it so that you don't at least give them an opportunity. They may not be ready that day, but you don't know if you're going to have the next time to do it. We don't know if we're going to have the next time. That sadly, that we've all had times in our life where we said, "Oh, I'll wait." And then what happens? You don't see the person for a while, and then you find out later on that they died, or they moved away, or that person, they don't work there anymore. And you say, "I have no way to find them now." Well, what happened? We said, "Let's put it off. Let's put it off." We've got to get back to the simple gospel plan, that God's plan of salvation is simple. It's called the simple plan of salvation. God's simple plan of salvation was a very popular tract by Ford Porter. And as a result of that tract, countless thousands and thousands and thousands of people got saved by just a simple tract with a cross and a picture of the earth in front of it and the stars and the solar system. And it explained the simple plan of salvation. We should not make it complicated, because what we are doing is we're talking ourselves out of ever giving it to anyone. That's what we're really doing when we do that. Verse 14, "How shall they call on Him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in Him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher?" Here we see some very important questions that Paul asks us. And a man with a burden for lost souls asks us, number one, do you have a burden? And number two, how are they going to believe if they don't? How are they going to call on Him if they have not believed on Him? How are they going to believe on Him if they've not heard of Him? And how are they going to hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? So here are five important questions. We trace it all the way back to the beginning, which is verse 15. Except they be sent. What is the church's main job as we glorify God and disciple believers? What's our other very most important task? As we glorify God in our lives and disciple believers, what is our other most important task? To be sent out to preach the gospel to the lost. You say, well, I'm not a preacher, so I can just rule all these questions right out. Well, let's look at the Greek here. That's where the Greek helps us. If you don't understand the English, go behind. You say, well, I don't know Greek. Do you have a Strong's Concordance? If you have a computer, you have a Strong's Concordance. You can look up Strong's Concordance on there. You get a Bible program in Strong's, or you can get the old paper version. I have some in my office. But if you look behind that word preach, the word is keruso. How shall they preach? Keruso. The word there is herald. So notice it's not preacher as in minister or elder or bishop. Notice the word isn't bishop or presbyteros or, you know, or elder or it's not the terms for a pastor here. What is the term? The term is herald. Any Christian. What is Paul saying? Any Christian can be a herald, and all Christians should be a herald. What did a herald do? A herald would go around town before they had newspapers and before they had all the modern technologies to get the news. They would literally have someone go around and say, "Hey, so and so has died. So and so, there's a fire that broke out last night over in such and such town." And literally, that the herald would go around crying out the news from the newspaper. And he'd go around, and so every day the herald would come. They'd say, "Hey, what's the news?" And so, what does God want us to be? He wants us to be the herald to say, "Hey, you need Jesus. We're all sinners. We're all in the same boat. We need Christ to save us from our sin." That's what we need to be. We need to be that herald. Why? So that we can have beautiful feet. How beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace? Do you want beautiful feet? Do you want your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace, part of the armor of the Lord? If you do, it's time to get back into seeking out souls for Jesus. Seeking out souls for Jesus. I'd like every head bowed, every eye closed as we close this message this morning. Perhaps you'd say this morning, "You know, Pastor Rice, I had some of those same objections that you brought up this morning that the Lord put on your heart to preach, and I've been thinking about those things, and I've been giving those as excuses before God, but I realized this morning, it's not God, it's of the devil, those objections and those excuses, and he's trying to keep people from hearing the gospel." And I want to tell the Lord this morning that I want to be his herald, and I'm asking the Lord to give me a burden for lost people so that I can try to tell them the Word of God. Try to give them the gospel. If that's you, just slip up your hand quickly, quietly, right there. You see it. Amen, amen. I see those hands. Amen, amen. Say, "Pastor, pray for me. I want to be a soul winner. I want to go after people, and I want a burden. And I'm asking God to help me with that this morning." If that's you, just slip up your hand. Amen, amen. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this time to look into your Word this morning. We thank you for this simple and clear gospel plan that Paul was able to give it in the Romans road, and it only took 5 or 6 verses. And we have the whole gospel in a nutshell in one verse in John 3:16. And it doesn't take a long time or many days to present it, but it is simple. Lord, help us to give it out to people so that they can be saved, that they can have a chance, Lord. We know they don't have a chance except they hear. And Lord, how are they going to hear if no one tells them? Lord, we pray that you would burden our hearts. Help us to seek out people, Lord. Help us take those letters to the police, fire, EMTs this week to invite them. Help us to give gospel tracts, take gospel tracts out of the tract case so that we can invite them to come and to be saved, and tell them the gospel. In Jesus' name, amen. Let us turn to our hymn book as we close this service. 496, let's all stand together as we sing, "Would you come, if the Lord has spoken to your heart, would you come this morning?" 496. All to Jesus I surrender, all to Him I freely give. I will ever love and trust Him, in His presence daily live. I surrender all, I surrender all. Would you come as we sing? To Jesus I surrender, I surrender all. All to Jesus I surrender, humbly at His feet I bow. Worldly pleasures all forsaken, take me, Jesus, take me now. I surrender all.
Lord, to you we give all the glory and praise. We ask all things in Jesus' name.
Amen.